Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Keith Isaac from Castle No Wine Agencies here in sunny Chelsea.
Yeah, Imperial Wharf, yeah.
Imperial Wharf, not Chelsea, is it?
We're quite modest about these things. We don't like to claim to be in Chelsea. We're technically Imperial Wharf.
Okay, I didn't even know Imperial Wharf existed until I was trying to work out how to get here.
It's a new railway station outside.
Is it a new rail station?
Yeah, on the overground.
Because I'm going here and then I'm going off to the Master of Wine Institute later on, it's actually really hard to get from here to the Master of Wine Institute.
You have to go to Clapham and back up again.
Yeah, it's terrible. So in the end I drove, which was a great idea, right up to the point where I came down Fulham High Street, and right at the very busy intersection they've got a... The traffic is, they've just got big roadworks and nothing was moving, so, which is why I got here quite late.
Bad luck.
Yeah, never mind. What we're going to talk about today is a little bit about yourself and Castle No, and then hopefully next week we're going to talk a bit about BA, one of your clients, and wines in the sky and all this sort of thing.
Yep, that's fine.
So just to start off with, Keith, Castle No, how long has Castle No been going for, and did you start it, or what's your relationship with the organisation?
I didn't start it. I've worked in this company since 1987 when we were called Patriarch Wine Agencies, and we were owned by a French company called Patriarch, which is a Burgundy Négociant. Mm-hmm. And we had dealt with Champagne Castle No for a while. Patriarch, the family who owned Patriarch, then sold the French business, and we were sold with it to another French group. And after a couple of years, discussions were opened up as to whether Champagne Castle No could take some of our equity. And we agreed that was fine. So we went from being owned by a Burgundy company selling champagne to being owned by a champagne company selling Burgundy. And we sell a number of agencies from around the world as well.
Yeah.
So we're an importer, agency house, and distributor. We do hold quite a lot of UK stock. And we sell to different sectors of the trade. So we sell to some of the major supermarkets, either brand or private label. We then sell to a number of on-trade wholesalers around the UK. And we sell an amount of on-trade business in London as well, which we do ourselves.
So you would class yourself as an importer, not a wholesaler?
I would class us as an importer and an agency house more than and a distributor more than a wholesaler per se.
What's an agency house?
An agency house is where we represent producers on an agency basis, and we either invoice their wines or we and take a margin, or it may be invoiced direct and we get paid a small commission on organising the business.
Okay. So Castle No, the champagne house,
mm-hmm.
is that the main product you guys push, or is it more of a...
In terms of value, it's probably the biggest single wine we do because champagne's high value. It's not the only one we push. We have a responsibility to a number of producers who have given us their distribution for the UK and Ireland in many cases. So we have a responsibility to all of them to sell their wines. But obviously, being owned by a champagne company, our owners want to know what we're doing to sell lots of champagne for them.
Yeah, for sure. And are they a full 100% ownership customer?
Yes, they own all of the UK subsidiary.
Okay, that makes it interesting. Does that mean you get to get lots of trips to Champagne?
Yes, I came back at 10 o'clock last night, yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, no. So you're a bit tired, or...?
A little bit tired, yeah.
Yeah.
I drove, so there was no drinking going on, I assure you.
Oh, it's a fair way back from Champagne, isn't it? It's a good drive in a ferry.
It's a Eurotunnel from here, or from Champagne back to here is about 6 hours, five and a half.
Oh, you can get on the Eurotunnel in Champagne?
Calais, yeah.
Yeah, Calais, that's what I thought. I know that the TGVs and all that.
It's motorway all the way to Calais and then Eurotunnel and back up the motorway.
Yeah, okay, lovely. So, as an agency for Castle No,
mm-hmm.
Are you out talking to retailers? Is it the retailer you're getting the product in front of? And what size retailer is it?
With the Castle No brand, we are selling virtually only to the to the on-trade, so to wholesalers to sell to the on-trade, and then we're saying to a few good quality independent retailers. We've no wish to put the Castelnau brand into major retail distribution at this stage. So we sell to a few good independents, like Tannin and Oak up in Northwest London. We sell to the Wine Society, who are then selling on to private customers. But we do champagne for some of the other UK retailers under different brands.
Okay, so you're making champagne. Well, the customer is making champagne and then rebranding it. Say, what, like, is there any brands you can mention that we might know of?
We sell to a couple of the major supermarket chains under brands that we own or under their brand.
Like, not to give an example.
There's no secret. I mean, if you pick up a bottle of Waitrose vintage champagne in Waitrose and turn the label around, you'll see the address is CIBC Champagne de Castelnau. So it's no secret that we're doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And likewise, we make champagne for Marks and Spencer's. Those would be the two main supermarkets we supply at the moment.
Okay, well, that'll be pretty good business.
Isn't yeah, it? No, right. It's excellent business. They're very demanding clients.
Lots of work then.
Lots of work.
Okay, and what other agencies do you have then? Because I looked on your website and I went through and I saw you had some New Zealand wines and some various bits and pieces.
We deal with wineries from around the world. So I mentioned Patriarch, which is obviously Burgundy. We deal with a number of producers in other parts of France. Tend to be smaller companies. We deal with Saint-Albert in Rioja. We deal with Tiki Wines and Vineyards in Marlborough. You mentioned New Zealand. We deal with one of the grand old men of Western Australian winemaking, Rob Bowen. We take wines from him under two or three different labels. We've just taken on Oak Valley from Elgin in South Africa, who are making very good wines, and we deal with another winery there called Annex Kloof. Hahn in California, La Puerta in Argentina, Sutil in Chile. So a fair range of companies from around the world.
Is there anything that ties them together? Do they position themselves in a particular part of the market, or they have particular styles? Or
No, I don't think so. The wines that we like would be the link, and wineries that we've come across. Some we've worked with for many years. Some are wineries that we've just added to the portfolio. So we just added Ribera del Duero, for example, who is a winery we're familiar with because we bought some wine from them for BA, and they were looking for a home, and we said, fine, we'll take it. We obviously like your wines because they come through our blind tastings in the past of British Airways, so yeah, we're happy to take them on.
We'll talk about British Airways next week, but okay, so I get a feel for it. What's your role here, by the way, Keith? I forgot to ask.
My business card says general manager, which is probably about right.
Yeah.
But I work on the sales side quite a lot. Apart from the general management, most of my time is spent on sales.
You're a master of wine, so you're like the wine figurehead here, are you? Or
I suppose you could put it like that, but a lot of the people here have got diploma. So Kate and Belinda have both got diploma. Two or three other people are doing WSET courses at the moment. So there's always been a core of people with quite a lot of wine knowledge. I just happen to be the tame master of wine on them.
What's the plan for Castelnau? Do you have what's your 5-year plan? Where do you see the company? Is it very much doing the same thing going forward, or do you see the business changing or reinventing?
I see the business growing. I see Castelnau as a champagne brand becoming more important. The parent company has the ambition to get to a million bottles by 2020 and then to 2 million bottles by 2025. So that's the global plan for Castelnau as a brand. Obviously, as one of the main, or if not the main export market, we feature quite heavily in that. As far as the rest of the business goes, I see us growing steadily. We will take on new agencies where we think they can make a difference to us and we can make a difference for them. And we'll certainly be looking to increase the sales team over the coming years.
The companies you seem to deal with are quite large companies. You don't deal with small independents or any of that sort
of thing? We deal with a few small independent wine shops around London and one or two outside London. The issue there is the cost of distribution.
Yeah.
If someone can't buy a reasonable amount from you, then the cost of distribution just makes it prohibitive.
Yeah.
So we've tended to do more with wholesalers, regional brewers, who sell to the on-trade. So that's where a lot of the Patriarch volume, most of the Patriarch volume goes, for example.
Yeah.
In London, we're more flexible because everyone sells his own wine in London. So we sell to restaurants, bars, hotels within the M25.
Yeah, I don't see any warehousing around here.
No, we bond at LCB.
Okay, so everything's done through LCB, and that's why your distribution costs you need to be aware of.
We need to be aware of them all the time. I mean, LCB provide a good service, but they don't want to be sending vans out to small bottle shops to deliver 5 cases in the middle of nowhere, because it's not an efficient use of their time either. So that's something we're always aware of.
Yeah.
We just hold some sample stock here.
Okay.
And then the stock's in LCB in Tilbury.
Where's Tilbury?
Tilbury, on the Essex coast.
Oh, okay.
Thames Estuary.
Okay, and London City Bond, LCB, London City Bond. Didn't they have a roof collapse about 5 years ago?
More than 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That was about 2011, 2012 on one of their sites.
Yeah.
But they have a number of different sites.
Okay. If I'm a wine shop that I have a contract with you, I'll ring you and say I want to buy 10 cases of Castello, and then I presume they deliver within the M25 without too many problems.
Within and around London, the distribution's fine, and it's okay across the country. But what the problem we have is that it's expensive to deliver 10 cases to rural Lincolnshire, for example, because because it's a long way to go.
Is the
reason. But no, certainly for London, we've got no problem delivering 10 cases to anyone.
Yeah, and normally it would be a pallet if you're heading up to rural Lincolnshire or...
It would be nice.
...to a wholesaler.
depends what the wine is. I mean, we have a number of companies who we ship pallets down to, particularly people who don't import themselves from, say, Argentina and California, where we're shipping full containers. It's easier and more cost-effective for them to buy a pallet a month from us rather than them ship a container and sit on it for a year, or half a container and pay a much higher freight cost.
Yeah.
So we do quite a lot with Argentina and with California.
And would the if say I'm a wholesaler and I'm buying a pallet from you once a month, would it be a mixed pallet of different wineries?
Not necessarily.
Could be all the same.
Could be one pallet of Argentine Malbec, or it could be a mixed pallet of 10 different lines.
And where's the pallet assembled?
Is it
assembled?
At LCB.
At LCB. So you bring everything in by pallet of Malbec, pallet of this, pallet of that coming in from...
No, if we're shipping from Argentina, we're shipping a container of Malbec. So we're shipping 1,000 cases, say.
Yeah.
That goes into LCB, goes onto their system, and then we distribute. So we're shipping in bulk, I mean, not as in liquid, but bulk as in a container of boxes of wine.
Yeah.
We're then breaking the bulk down at LCB and we're distributing from there.
You don't do any sort of bulk, you know, like container of a bladder of wine or anything?
That we're bottling in the UK? No, we don't at the moment, because we worried about the stock turn on that and the storage costs adding up. You need to be doing a lot of it and turning it over very quickly. Otherwise, what you're saving on one hand, you're just giving back in extra storage charges.
Okay.
On the other. It's something we have looked at. We have sold bulk wine from some of our producers to supermarkets in the past, but we don't at the moment.
Okay. All right, and then the supermarket, who arranges the bottling, you guys or the supermarket? Or
Depending who the client is.
Yeah, okay. All right. That makes sense. This was a bit mean, but what's the biggest hassle in your business?
The biggest hassle in our business? I was thinking about that one. All our customers are such nice people. They're certainly never a hassle.
Even the demanding ones.
I mean, we don't have demanding customers. We just have customers and... We have some demanding customers, which is only fair enough. There's no real hassles. People ordering late, some people miscalculating their stock needs, and then it's never their fault. It's up to you to get them out of the mire. Those sorts of... But that's just a regular part of servicing a client and being a partner to them.
Yeah.
So that you're where they come back to rather than someone else next time.
But like some people at the moment, staff is can be a problem for some parts of the wine trade, or getting hold of good staff, etc.
I think
or it could be logistics or anything like that.
I think getting hold of good staff is an issue. But four of us went out for lunch the other week to celebrate Kate and Belinda working 10 years for us.
Yeah.
Which is quite unusual in the wine trade.
Yeah.
So we've been lucky with the staff we've had.
Yeah.
To get good sales staff is harder, but I think that's a general. I'm sure you've heard that from other people.
What's the problem with sales staff? Is it because salespeople can be? Well, they need a bit of wine knowledge, but they need to have a schmoozy.
They need wine knowledge, and I think increasingly they need good contacts as well. As well as a sales ability. I worry about taking on someone who's a very good salesperson for, say, a food product, who knows no one and doesn't know the language and doesn't know the way of selling wine.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can say that's chicken and egg. They've got to learn somewhere.
Yeah.
But we promoted internally for a couple of our recent sales roles, and we've handed accounts over to them because they then know the business, and we can train them up, we can put them on courses and develop them like that.
Okay, so how many people work for Castel now in the UK?
There are 9 of us.
Oh, so it is quite a small business.
No, quite small,
it?
Yeah.
You know, given that you're doing a lot of volume with big players, that is quite a small team. It's quite a tight team.
Yes, it is, yeah.
All right then, Keith, I think we'll wrap it up there.
Okay.
And next week we'll talk about wines in the sky, so to speak.
Okay, absolutely.
Cheers, mate.